There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Another hour of live vocal talk on this Friday. And I want to take your calls this hour and text. And by the way, also coming up in the second half of the hour, I saw this stat. I saw it because they emailed it to me. But it was enough that got my attention. So 22% of the vehicles in Mobile County have an active recall on them. Active recall. It kind of surprised me as well. I mean, although I have those 3x5 cards on my desk, you know, for vehicles I've owned or I currently own, but 22%. Mark Chung, who's Vice President of the National Safety Council, joins us in the second half of this hour to talk more about that. Right now, I want you all to say hello to a perennial here on the Day Mobile, my friend Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, man.
Hey, man, how are we doing today?
Doing great. By the way, we don't get too specific, maybe. I don't know. But Angelo, once again, came through for me in the clutch the other day. Y'all got to give a gift, and you haven't thought far enough ahead, or even if you are, if somebody does things responsibly, go check out Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Y'all did another fantastic job, so thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad we were able to take care of everything for you. And by the way, I do have one of those cards on my desk.
Yes.
For the vehicle recall.
You so got, okay.
I am one of that 22% for once.
I mean, well, and I think I have a... One for the truck I just sold, and one for a truck I had before. I haven't anything on the new truck, but I mean, yeah, I have for two different vehicles, I have three different recall things. So we're going to talk about that with them later on. Yeah, so you and I are both part of that 22%.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's talk about this. So I'm in the store the other day, and the selection of Opinel knives looks fantastic. And I know I promised to not talk about Opinel knives all the time, but can we, for just a second here, talk about why somebody should check out those knives?
Yeah, of course. I mean, here's the thing. It's a brand of knife. They've been around for 130 years. A lot of people are not sure if we're talking about some unusual tool. No, it's a pocket knife. They have gardening knives. They have kitchen knives. But it is a great quality tool. Those knives stay ridiculously sharp pretty much all the time.
Yes. And, you know, you can buy the individual knives are just a great gift item. But I've also bought the knife packs, right? Like the kitchen knife pack or the gardening pack. Those are great gifts.
Well, the nice thing I like about them is not only are they a great quality product, but you've got enough different price points there where you can get something like just a simple pocket knife or a simple single knife for somebody, not spend a ton of money. If you want to go ahead and step it up and get, you know, one of those four-piece knife sets or the gardening set, you know, you're spending a little bit more money there. And then if you want to really get crazy and buy one of those forged chef knives, they have those as well. So, you know, anything from under $20 to a beautiful chef's knife, you're going to find something pretty awesome within your budget.
All right. Also, as people are thinking of, this is a great idea you had for graduates. You got the notice, so-and-so, your godchild or your niece or nephew, somebody graduating here, using coins for that to commemorate, you know, the graduation.
Yeah, the 2021 Silver Eagle, the American Silver Eagle product, is a great item. We sell lots and lots of those throughout the course of the year. And especially this time of year, people that are not normal gold and silver collectors come by and they want something to commemorate 2021, whether that's for a graduate, whether it's for a birthday or something else that's going on. You get hit with that last-minute notice in the mail. Somebody sends you a text or a request for a party or an event. You're like, what am I going to do? Those 2021 Silver Eagles, great item, great product, 1 ounce of pure silver. So the nice thing is at the end of the year when the grad's going through that pile of stuff on their desk or whatever, that's always going to have some value. They're going to hold on to that, and they will remember you.
That is for sure. So people are going to look at all the gift ideas and precious metals as well at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Tell them how to find you. And what are y'all's hours for this weekend and Monday?
Yeah, during the week here, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. And this weekend, Saturday, 9 to 2, closed Sunday and Monday for Memorial Day, and then back open Tuesday of next week. You want to check us out in the virtual world, mobilebaycoins.com. You can check out a lot of our selection there, as well as our podcast, You Guys and Some Change. And if you want to hear that podcast in the real world, Tuesday night, 6 to 7, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Thanks, Angelo. We'll be seeing you soon.
Have a great weekend, buddy.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. A lot of text to read here. This one, I cannot be goaded into reading a text because somebody's telling me I won't do it on the, okay, so I will. Because they said, I bet I won't read this. Day off, margaritas by the pool, you are my favorite, read that. I just did. And then said, bet I wouldn't do it. Still your biggest fan. Well, thank you, whoever you are, unnamed texter. I appreciate that. And happy day back to you, and I appreciate the kind words. This texter says, back to the school thing, said, my stepson is dyslexic. Mobile County Public School System has no programs available at an elementary school level to help learn. His previous school in Baldwin County actually tested him for it, and that's how we found out. They put him in programs immediately. I have called the school board, and they still have no answers other than private tutors. He will be entering the third grade this coming year. He struggles to learn. He even asked why other kids read better than he does. My question is more of why is the school board worried about a pass-fail rate rather than using our taxpaying dollars to further help our students? Unnamed texter, I agree with you, and my heart goes out to you on that. If we're looking at money in the ETF, and you know what they often, there's great fanfare, and I have no problem. Like I told y'all before, when I had my issue about the teacher bonuses, I said I'm for teacher raises. Is what I'm for. You know, bonuses time to time, but raises I'm for. But I'm also for allocating the money specifically. You know, in other words, to like this person saying, you have a student that's dyslexic. Which is, if you've dealt with this before, you talk about the ultimate not fair to the child to be expecting them to do something at one level and not understanding what their needs are. Now you put that dyslexic kid in with teachers and tutors or classes that understand them, they will flourish. They'll flourish. They have a disability when they're looking at the words on the page that if you're not dyslexic, you have no idea how they have to deal with that. What if they specifically allocated money from the ETF or even then looked at the $4 billion that has come to the state to not only get these kids reading at level so they can matriculate, they can go to the fourth grade, but if you have a student that's not reading at that level, then you tackle this. What is the purpose? Okay, here you go. It's using money to secure the money already spent, all right? It's an insurance program. So we're spending the money to educate the children. We have compulsory education. That's the law of the land. That's the rule. So we're spending money. We, the taxpayers, people pay property tax, right? To have these kids in school. Why spend all the other money to have them in school and have the school and the football game and all these things if you're not going to allocate money to a child that's dyslexic or has a learning disability to make sure they have a chance to learn like the other kids? Now, I agree. People are saying, well, you do that and the families can do it. But what if somebody can't afford the tutor? What if somebody can't? And yes, there are parents that are not, my gosh, this is a big part of our issue. There are parents that are not living up to their jobs as parents for the kids. But with that being said, is that the kid's fault? I mean, if we didn't have compulsory education, there would be families out there, parents out there, I won't call them parents, reproducers out there that wouldn't even send their kids to school. So society has deemed that we need to require those children to be in school, right? Because of the benefit to them and the kind of the not so soft side of Sears, the benefit to the economy and the nation overall. Okay. So we believe that's true. So if we've done this and we build the schools and have the school year and hire the teachers and the technicians and the, you know, and do all the things to the cafeteria, run the school and have the crossing guards and everything there. If you can put some money here to handling this issue. If a child has a learning disability, to make sure they have the help they need to keep them where the other classmates are. If we're going to do this whole education thing in the first place, so you do that as well. Now, you don't do it wastefully. You do it specifically. You don't say, we have a new initiative that all... No, you can have a new initiative, but that initiative should be specific to student and help, right? This student has this issue. We've tested it. Here's the help applied to that. So my heart truly does go out to you, a named texter. Thank you for that text. All right. Let's see. Jace wins the day. He said on the text line, if I had taken the vehicle warranty phone call seriously, I'd already been taken care of. Jace, you're right. And I've seen 4 calls come in during the show that I don't know their number. They're probably half of them are about my vehicle's warranty. Let's see. David, do you want to fix? Oh, okay. He's saying Google Talk to Text needs to improve its grammar above a third grade level too. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this texture, I'm with you. This is Mobile County Public School System announced this week they're building new football stadium for 5 schools. Where is the money coming from? Can you say priority? So, and they talked about that, how much it costs, like $3,000 a game for those schools to rent the space at Ladd Peebles. And, you know, I guess eventually when I'm worm dirt, that money will be paid back. I'm not against having the football stadium. I like Friday night football. I like high school football. Like I said, I played it. I think it's a good thing. I support it. I go to games. Not last year because I couldn't, but I like it. But if you look at a triage list, you better help. And I don't know who this, you know, unnamed texter. I agree with you. You better deal with the kid that has a learning disability or the kid who just because of the screw up year that was last year can't read at the 4th grade level. You better get them where they need to be before you build football stadiums. You know, and somebody said, well, football stadiums bring in revenue. What is the point of the school system? It is in a way to bring in revenue because you have educated people that are engaged in society and pay taxes. But the job of the school is to educate. I'm for the football. I like the football. It is not the primary job of public school. It's not. Really, it should be just a lukewarm take on that, right? Okay, coming right back. We'll get some calls and text. More to talk about here before we get to our discussion about your vehicle recall.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties for 13 years now. And by the way, they're hiring. If anybody knows of, maybe it's you or somebody in search of part or full-time work, they're looking for you. If you know of an individual 20 years old or older who's not afraid to be dependable, sweat, get dirty, work independently, able to lift 50 pounds, has a valid driver's license with a clean record, and enjoys a fast-paced customer service and culture-driven work environment, please email my buddy Trey. It's trey.bennett at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And I know you're riding down the road, you're not writing stuff down, send us a text to 343-0106 and we'll get you his email. But it's trey.bennett at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And so check it out. You're looking for the job. You're looking for, know somebody looking for that job. 1-800-GOT-JUNK in Mobile is hiring. And also, of course, you want to get that junk gone from your house or a storage unit or a job, your office, wherever. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Go online to their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and make that appointment. And they show up and they get the junk and they take it away. It's fantastic. So to do something today, if you're looking for the gig or looking to get rid of the junk, check out 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. Let me tell you this. I love this job. Love this job. This is, God has a way, right, to put you in the perfect thing. And so we're in this discussion about the literacy program. I say I love this job. I love this job doing it in my hometown here, right? I love being able to be part of this community because I got a call from somebody who knows what they're talking about. with some facts for me, and this is fantastic. So, a couple things. There are literacy programs going on this summer through Mobile County Public School System. And next week, we'll try to roll those out and talk about those. Hopefully, if you have a student that affects, you already know about it, but we'll roll that out. They are working the programs. Like I said, if they could only do this, well, it looks like they're doing this. So we're going to talk about that those programs going on for Mobile County this summer. Also, on the question about learning disabilities and dyslexia, there are programs through the Mobile County Public School System available. We'll talk about how to get if you've got that issue, how to get your students in those as well. So that is good news. And that the money coming for the football stadiums could not be allocated for these other programs because it's construction money. And, well, this is my take on it. You know how government works. This goes to this, this goes to this, this goes to that. So we're going to have a big discussion about this next week. I'm looking forward to it. But I love it. I love it getting information on the fly. So hopefully taking it from those people to the people that need the information. I'm in the perfect place, that's for sure. All right, let me grab some phone calls here, and David's up first.
Hey, Sean, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I wanted to make an observation that I realized with your conversation with Chief Batiste. If the people that are running Black Lives Matter and really trying to affect change in the police department are really serious about that, they need to be out there next to the police recruiting the street beat cops of today that will become the leaders of the police tomorrow. And here's why. You have Chief Barber, who implemented a lot of trust-building exercises and initiatives when he was Chief of Police of Mobile, that Chief Batiste continued and built upon, like the mental health, dedicating resources to mental health responses that we heard about last month. And so you need leaders that are going to, number one, listen to you, and number two, understand that those programs, if implemented correctly and effectively, will be good for the community. And if you're not recruiting people of color and people that really have a heart for service now to be street cops, then they're not going to be available in the next generation to be leaders of the police department.
Well said. I mean, yes, it's the, as you got to get people in so they can get the time and tenure and wisdom to become the leaders. So, and hopefully next couple of weeks. So Director Batiste and I are going to talk again about those challenges, getting people in to, and he was saying specifically, black folks getting in because of the community not supporting the decisions of those people to get into law enforcement. I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly, and that's why I said the people that are running the BLM movement and that are trying to affect those changes now need to be right alongside.
Do they want that change?
Recruiting those people.
And I can't speak for everybody. Who knows? I mean, because there's different people have legitimate protest, and then there's other elements of BLM, and you look at the marching orders of the whole organization is one that's Marxist or at least socialist in it. How much of that interest is in making things better, and how much of it is taking control?
And that's the real question.
It is indeed. David, appreciate your call. So many texts on this. Listen, I appreciate these texts, and we're trying to get these, hopefully we'll get these lined up as questions for next week when we talk about the school system and what's being done this summer. Now, we can only address it here in Mobile County, but I'll reach out to folks in Baldwin County as well, and maybe other parts of the state, because, I mean, it's going to be different. And then even within Mobile, you've got, you've got different school systems outside the Mobile County Public School System, but we'll keep our eyes on this for sure. Let's see. Oh, I do want to remind you, because I talked about it in the first hour, but I do want to remind you that on Monday, that is a holiday, but it is a somber holiday, Decoration Day, Memorial Day. USS Alabama and the park there has events starting at 7 a.m. So 7 Monday morning, Memorial Day flag lowering ceremony is going to be at the Vietnam Memorial. Also, Life South Community Blood Services is going to hold their Memorial Day blood drive from 10:30 to 4 p.m. And also the 13th annual Memorial Day flag relay will end on the deck of the USS Alabama. Relay starts at the Army National Guard and U.S. Coast Guard bases and winds through the streets of Mobile. Runners are expected to enter Battleship Memorial Park about 10:20 on Monday morning. They will conduct flag touches at all the U.S. and service flags within the park and end the relay aboard the USS Alabama. So that is going on Monday. You'll have Dan and Dalton on Monday morning, but you also have Fisher House, you know, that charity we think so much about. The fastest way I've had to describe it over the years is what Ronald McDonald House does for parents of children that are getting services in hospitals, like right here at USA Children's and Women's Hospitals. Well, Fisher House does the same thing for families of veterans at VA facilities worldwide. That's coming up on Monday.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. Our guest, Mark Chung, Vice President of the National Safety Council, joining us to talk about a stat. Now, Mark, I see a note here on an email that said 22% of the vehicles in Mobile have issues that need a safety recall. I mean, like all of, like if I'm sitting in traffic right now, somebody's listening to us and looks around, possibly 22% of those vehicles are recall vehicles?
Well, they have recall, open recalls that haven't been addressed yet. So this is obviously an urgent and serious risk to the drivers as well as passengers. And I think, especially in Mobile, Alabama, where it's hot and humid, you may have heard of the Takata airbag recall. It was a huge, one of the more larger recall campaigns ever. And these airbags, when exposed to high heat and humidity, can turn these airbags from life-saving devices to life-threatening ones. And that's because in a crash, the deployed airbag can shoot sharp metal fragments into the vehicle. So it is extremely serious, and it obviously poses a safety risk for drivers and passengers. And the good news is that you can protect you and your loved ones, and it's rather easy to find out whether your car has an open recall or not.
And let's, if you're just joining us, talking to Mark Chung with the National Safety Council, obviously they know things like this when it comes to safety. But we also, and I want to get to the Takata airbag discussion, because I had a 3x5 card show up. It seems like there's a lot of folks that get these cards for, hey, this is a recall item, or there's been, you know, you're part of a class action suit or whatever, and you can take your vehicle. And those cards get ignored, I think, in some cases, that you see enough of them. It seems like every week or two something comes to our house. You're saying that this is serious.
It is serious. And there are actions you could take to make sure that you could eliminate that risk. And you could do that by going to checktoprotect.org, or you could text recall to 99724. But you do have to take a couple of really easy steps though to get there. And what I would recommend is grabbing a pen and piece of paper or your phone, so you could either jot down or take a picture of your VIN number, which is your vehicle's unique identifier. And it's a 17 character string of letters and numbers located on the driver's side of your dashboard. And it's also found in many registration or insurance documents as well. And you take that number and enter it, go to checktoprotect.org and enter it there to see if you have any open recall. And if you do, guess what? You can schedule a free repair appointment at your local authorized dealership. So there's really no cost burden to the owner at all.
No, I like this. Okay, so if we have a single recall or multiple recalls on that vehicle or different parts on it, sending that VIN in, and I want you to give that information again on how people can do that, send that VIN in, and you'll just kind of go, okay, here's what recalls are on your vehicle. You can do it for all the family vehicles.
Yeah, and you know, especially, you know, sort of, you know, over the holiday weekend, which is one of the more dangerous driving weekends of the year. And as you know, we put COVID behind us, hopefully, more people will be out on the road this summer. So we want you to take some basic precautions, some basic steps to make sure that you and your loved ones get to your destination safely. And one of the key tips is to check for recalls. But I think we also need to pay attention to the fact that there are a lot of distracted drivers on the road and driving too fast. And we need to really go back to the basics of driver safety to make sure that we remain safe over the holidays and remainder of this year as well.
Absolutely. And as I am training a 15-year-old driver in my household, I've gone back to the books on this one, Mark. And I'm saying, this is why we're doing this. Look there, look there. Like I'm repeating it out loud, like I'm running a driver's ed as we're riding down the road. So I'm on board.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the blocking and tackling should include checking for recall, and because it is a potential safety risk for you and your loved ones. So, you know, I can't stress enough I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, are there, is there in the Takata airbag recall, or are there on others statute limitations on these recalls? So if somebody had that vehicle, maybe they bought it from somebody else or something like that, does it still qualify for the recall to get the fix?
Absolutely. So, you know, it doesn't matter if your vehicle is secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand, it doesn't matter. You know, you should check for your vehicle's exposure to these open recalls and get them fixed, because if you do have an open recall, you could get it fixed for free at your local dealership.
And so they, if somebody kind of knows too, they've never done this before, and they it pings back, and you're going to give us that info again on how to, where to send that VIN to. But we take that to the dealership, and they shouldn't, I mean, they should say yes, right? There shouldn't be any charge, any hassle on that. They should say yes to that recall.
That's right. So if you confirm, you go to checktoprotect.org and with your VIN number, and if you, you will be then presented with information whether you have an open recall campaign or not on your vehicle. And if it does, you just need to take that information and advise the local dealership, and they will fix it for free. And it's very turnkey. So, again, it's checktoprotect.org, or you could text recall to 99724 to get that process started.
So they are going to say at the local dealerships, for whatever make of vehicle it is, they are compelled to do this, right? I mean, if somebody gets a, now we're not doing that, or that's not right.
Right. They are required to fix. So you can't. So you need to make sure that you take your vehicle, and you need to know what make it is, obviously, and take it to that dealership. So if it's a, say it's a Chevy, you need to take it to a Chevy dealership to get that fixed.
But the Chevy dealership is compelled to do that repair.
That is correct.
This is good. This is, and you've made it, National Safety Council's made this easy. Once again, I know you just, the website or the text, and the text, how do you do this?
Yeah, so take your VIN number. So as I mentioned, it's a 17-character string of letters and numbers located on the driver's side dashboard. And go to checktoprotect.org and enter that information, your VIN number, into the website. And you'll be able to then learn whether your vehicle has an open recall or not. And if it does, then you can then schedule a very quick and free repair at your local dealership to get that problem resolved.
We appreciate this info and your time. Mark Chung, Vice President of the National Safety Council, thanks for your time on the show.
You bet. Thank you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And Amanda Summerlin from Taylor Martino back in studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean.
We were talking about this before we got started during the news break, and this is something that is, it comes off of a difference here between chemicals that are used by everybody and chemicals that are used by licensed operators, right?
That's right.
So I want everybody to think about this, because we've, you know, talked in the past and glyphosate and Roundup and all that, but this is specific here. This a weed killer called, it's paraquat?
Yeah, Sean, it's paraquat, and it's a toxic weed killer, uses a herbicide. And what really sets this apart from the Roundup that we've talked about before is in order to use a Roundup, I mean, in order to use paraquat, you had to be a licensed applicator.
Okay, so the people that we're talking to right now are probably going to know this. They're licensed applicators, whether they're doing it for golf courses or those things, or they're doing it for ag, you know, uses. They're people that know paraquat, although it comes by other names too, right? So paraquat is the name of this toxic weed killer, but it's also sold under, there are other trade names here for it.
The other trade name that it's going by is Gramoxone. And, you know, they may see that in a green sort of gallon jug. And then the paraquat product is packaged a couple different ways, usually like in a clear container or sometimes a brown container. But yes, these licensed applicators, they know if they were using this product or not.
Okay, so here's the tough part of this, that some studies have come out. Tell us about this, paraquat, and then Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, so Parkinson's disease just on itself, you know, has a period of time, you know, that it develops. And so when we're looking at this exposure to paraquat and then what we call a latency period, or the time, you know, that you're exposed to the product and then develop the Parkinson's right. disease. So it can be 10, 20 years, maybe perhaps a little bit longer. So
we might be talking to somebody right now that is not currently using paraquat. They got to think back to where they were 10, 20 years ago. If somebody's developed Parkinson's, it could be related to something that happened decades ago.
That's right, Sean. And it's not like you're going to use paraquat today and in 6 months, you know, develop a Parkinson's from that. So, yeah, somebody that used this product, you know, 10 or 15 years ago should, you know, that has these symptoms of Parkinson's should definitely give us a call.
Yeah, I was reading this. So paraquat's manufacturer, Syngenta Group, didn't warn about the life-altering neurological effects of paraquat. So there weren't warnings on this back then saying Parkinson's could develop from use of this product?
No, there was not. And this product has been sold in the United States since 1966.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So we're talking about a lot of possibilities for people to be exposed to this.
Right.
So how does somebody go through this, that they connect these two dots? So we're talking about Parkinson's disease, and they go, yeah, we used Parkinson's or Gramaxone or whatever other names. There's several names, and people can go to the website and see these listed. They get, if they put those two things together in their family member or themselves, that's the time to call you.
That's right, Sean. And this person could be a farmer, a farmhand. They could be somebody that mixed the paraquat, loaded the paraquat, sprayed the paraquat. So, you know, they could have been working with or alongside a licensed applicator who actually purchased the product. And the other thing with this is, you know, this product, it could have been inhaled, you know, ingested.
Drifted,
yes.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at this. So coming from the ag side here, and I've talked to, I know folks that understand what I'm talking about going forward, prohibiting This is for the paraquat. This with prohibiting aerial application for all use in sites except cotton desiccation. So that's like burning down cotton. Requiring enclosed cabs if treated area in a 24-hour period is more than 80 acres, and requiring enclosed cabs or PF10 respirators if an area is treated in a 24-hour period is 80 acres or less. There's a lot of stuff that is used in ag that doesn't have that, and that's licensed applicators that don't have that 24-hour period. It's not like right then or an hour afterwards. It's a day afterwards.
That's right.
So obviously there's big concerns about this drifting around, staying in the air or staying in the environment for at least a day here, they're talking about.
Right. And not only in the air and the environment, but also in the soil.
And it can be
ingested through the skin area.
So, you know, you think about that. So if you had it on soil and that soil was dissed, or you were making it, you were breaking that soil up, could it come out of the soil at that point?
Right. Yes.
Okay. And once again, too, on, I mean, I think most people, I don't know, Parkinson's disease, you know, people know that by name, but what does that like mean? Like if somebody is thinking about a family member that went through something, maybe it's undiagnosed at this point. I mean, what, you know, I guess people can Google Parkinson's, but I mean, you have, I know yes, tremors are a big issue people see out there in Parkinson's, but that's not all cases, right?
That's right, Sean. Parkinson's can affect people, you know, in different ways. And like you said, there's a lot of information that, you know, someone could Google, but it's a progressive disorder that attacks the nervous system. And so, you know, it could be tremors. It could be, you know, stumbling. It could be some issues with speech. So, if someone thinks they have these symptoms, we have a list of symptoms on our website, taylormartino.com. But, and there are, I think, some people that have been diagnosed with Parkinson's already. So they know that they have that, and we may be able to link back if they've been exposed to paraquat.
And if you didn't hear Amanda say this earlier, joining us in this, Amanda Summerlin with Taylor Martino, our guest, that this could be decades. In other words, they could have applied the paraquat 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and it might be now that they're seeing these Parkinson's syndrome. It didn't happen to have to, because they might say, well, I used that back in the 90s or something, but I haven't used it. Well, they could have been exposed in the 90s, y'all are saying, and be developing Parkinson's decades later.
That's right. And through my research, Parkinson's could also typically, like you said, you know, 10, 20 years, could even be a longer period, 30 or 40 years.
So this is going to take a little bit of thinking. If y'all have, but you're obviously, if you know somebody in your family and your agricultural family that developed Parkinson's, to go back and do a little research and what y'all were using on the farm at that point. and Paraquat or any of the other names it comes under, if you match those two, that's time to call y'all.
That's right, Sean. They can give us a call. Some clients recall what they used and where they used it and where they purchased. Others, you know, purchased it more recently, have receipts from that. So, you know, we will do the work as far as helping you go
y'all
back.
Y'all got a pretty darn good research department. Yeah. So, okay. And it also, you mentioned not just the farmers, but if somebody was a farm hand on a place, it may be worth asking, hey, what were we using back then?
That's right, Sean. So, yeah, there's on these agricultural workers, usually, you know, a team. Mm-hmm. So it could be that the farm hand or somebody working alongside him, you know, wasn't the purchaser or the license applicator, but they worked with someone who was.
All right. So y'all listen up here, and maybe it's not you, but maybe you connect that in your family. You say, oh, you know what? I had a family member that developed Parkinson's, and what were we using on the farm back then? Or what? Maybe you worked on a farm, somebody worked on a farm, and connect those. Once again, the website, the best place to go to get all the contact info?
It's TaylorMartino.com.
Amanda, as always, appreciate seeing you.
Yeah, great to see you too, Sean. Thanks.
You can reach Taylor Martino Law Firm online, TaylorMartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.